Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's cross over to America and speak to Dr. Richard Boylan. Hello, Richard.
Good evening, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you very much for agreeing to speak to me. We're very fascinated with outer space, with what's going on in the world beyond. You've got some very interesting ideas and theories, haven't you?
Well, yes. I look at it more as research. I try to avoid speculation and go after the answers both by field reconnaissance to places that aren't supposed to exist and by working with people as a professional retired psychologist at this point to talk to them about their experiences with contacts by people from the stars and how it's changed them.
Have you always been interested in UFOs and star visitors?
Well, not always. I'm a senior citizen. And I go back to before there was a UFO cover-up. Indeed, before I was born, before the famous Roswell crash, and remember my parents reading it out loud in the paper, and I thought, gee, that's neat. There's people from the stars here. And in eighth grade, I was old enough to read for myself when the UFOs went over the Washington, D.C. Capitol night after night that July of 1952. But after that, you know, it kind of became sort of humdrum background. It was only in 1989 when I had completed, was in my third decade of work as a counselor, that I had something happen that never happened before, and that was people starting to come in to want to talk about their close encounters with star visitors, and that re-piqued my interest and got me back into this field in a big way.
Not making light of what you're saying, I'm very curious to think what your friends feel about your theories and your research that you do. Are they for you or against you, or do they just ignore it?
Well, most of my, I don't talk about this with a lot of my associates, colleagues, because they don't seem to be open-minded in this area. Some of my closer friends and family members know of my interests, and depending on how informed they are, they either store it away as sort of, well, that's interesting, but I'll await for further confirming evidence, or else they change the subject. So the number of people outside of those who follow my work closely online that you know, embrace the subject are the minority, as to be expected in a subject that the government keeps taboo.
Richard, I think it's very vain of us, isn't it, all of us on this earth, to think that we're the only beings out there. I think it's very narrow-minded to be like that.
Well, it's close to a statistical impossibility if you were to run the odds of our planet being the only planet that happened to be fortunate enough to have intelligent life living on it, given the, I think, last count I heard, there were like a trillion stars with capable of supporting planets in the known universe. And, you know, one in a trillion odds is not really one I'd put any money on. So the odds don't favor it. And furthermore, we don't have to worry about the odds. We have physical and photographic evidence of star visitor contact.
Tell me, is it conspiracy theories, or are governments covering up information?
Well, they have been. The U.S. is the biggest holdout among the major powers. Your own U.K. has somewhat admirably lately started dumping Department of Defense, Ministry of Defense files on UFOs into the public domain. And while they haven't given everything, nor the juiciest tidbits, they certainly have been starting to be forthcoming on the topic. and have allowed some of their former employees in the Ministry of Defense to go on record saying that the subject's real and is being closely studied. So, lamentable as you may think the British government performance to be by U.S. standards, they are moving ahead on this subject.
Do you yourself, have you had any experiences with beings or UFOs?
Well, both. I've seen so many UFOs that no longer is, of very much interest. I'd certainly go outside if one were out there, but I don't spend days on a hilltop with binoculars waiting to see one. I've gone to Area 51 and seen them test. Well, these aren't real UFOs at 51. They're copycats. The shadow government operation there has fashioned by back engineering anti-gravity craft and seen those flown. And I've also seen real UFOs flown by star visitors in the general vicinity of that part of Nevada, but outside the military range, seemingly shadowing what's going on there. So I've seen both types, and I've had a close encounter in New Mexico late at night driving once that I consciously remember, and I've had other close encounters that I have been suppressed from conscious memory. Star visitors do that at times when they want you to kind of save till later what went on. But I've had some healings twice during those close encounters, and that isn't imaginary, because when I later on got back into full alertness, I noticed that in one case a bad knee had been fixed, and then another physical malady had been fixed. So I can say I've had both encounters with physical beings and StarCraft.
Interesting you mentioned star visitors twice now. We've heard that you talk about the star kids and adult star seeds resulting mm-hmm. from star visitors contacting the Earth. What is this phenomenon all about?
Well, if you were to simplify it, in recent human history, we can talk about the star visitors returning. They've been here millennia before, but returning in recent times to conduct what one might call a sort of in U.S. terms, you might call it a Peace Corps mission. And their efforts are to, first of all, make their presence known, appear to enough people that word gets around that they're here, and deliver messages. Basically, in the themes of we need to get to peace and stop using nuclear weapons or the threat of them, and we need to recognize we have a higher destiny than has been talked about before, namely to get out into the cosmos once we get our act together as a human society. And they have been working on upgrading the human race. To make some sense of that, I have to back up for a moment and say that we are a bioengineered species. We are not purely the result of a smooth curve of evolution. What happened is about 375,000 years ago, the star visitors came down and took some genetic material from a high evolved primate, sort of a latter-day version of Lucy, and crossed it with their own genetic material to produce an upright, intelligent being with dexterity, Homo sapiens, us. And they let that experiment go for about 75,000 years, and then they saw that there was still too much of the animality in the recipe, too much aggressiveness and territoriality, so they upgraded the recipe and what emerged was Homo sapiens sapiens, modern man, as anthropologists would call it. And they let that run another 150,000, 175,000 years to present time. And still, they saw that the humans were letting their scientific material progress get ahead of their spiritual moral progress. Probably the quintessential case of that being developing nuclear weapons and using them to obliterate whole cities, namely Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And they decided that the recipe needed a little more work of final tinkering, and they began meeting with people and borrowing reproductive material and doing another genetic upgrade by gene splicing and putting it back. And out has come a crop of young people that I call the Star Kids, Humankind 3.0. What the general counsel for this U.S. Smithsonian Institute scientific institution called Homo alterius spatialis, or altered space human. I'll just stick with Star Kids for the kids and Star Seed adults for the adults. But now I think they have the recipe right from my study of these Star Kids and the those who've grown up old enough to be Star Kid adult, Star Seed adults. They are a better functioning species, and I think we can look forward to a very interesting future as these eventually take the reins of society in a full-bore way.
I'm talking to Dr. Richard Boyland. You're saying then to me, Richard, that there are people on this earth that are what you call Star Kids who have come from visitors.
Well, there are hybrids, if you will. Actually, all humankind is a hybrid. First of all, 1.0, and then later when they tinker, 2.0, and these Star Kids are 3.0 hybrids and function at a very interesting level. They're much brighter. They have double handfuls of psychic abilities. They grow up faster. And the ones that have been around long enough to have some longevity on them, we also notice that they age more slowly and gracefully. They tend to have a more robust immune system. And in general, in about every way you can measure it, they're just higher functioning humans. And as they come of age and form the majority of our population, I think we are looking to a very interesting future human society.
How can you tell then if a person's a Star Kid?
Well, let me start with a couple of the crudest, simplest measurements, and then I'll get to something a little more elaborate. Ways in which people start to suspect that they may not be the average regular person they've always heard about is one of the phenomena that's rather widespread is that the energy fields around a star kid or star seed adult range out much wider, more widely than they do for regular humans. And one of the ways this shows up is that on occasion a star kid or star seed will walk by one of those orange sodium vapor street lamps and it will go out, meaning that their energy field swamps the plasma field inside that light that makes it bright. Another way I can quickly detect star kids and star seeds, if I'm in their physical presence, is to get out a pair of dowsing rods and measure their ambient bioelectric field, and it is not it doesn't reach out about a foot like it does for a regular human. It reaches out several yards, something like 12 to 15 feet, I would say, all the way up in one kid's case to 50 feet. So that is a physically observable difference. Many teachers who've been teaching all their life and a long career, when I talk to them about, do you notice if today's kids are any different than the kids that used to be? And they say, oh, yes, they can't quite put their finger on it, but they know they're different, and they are much brighter. And the way they absorb information and process it is different than the kids of yours. So those are some of the ways that one can tell a star kid. I could list some of the psychic abilities these star kids exhibit if you would like.
Well, first of all, I've got to ask you, in one of your emails to my producer, Jonathan, you commented on me from a photograph. Do tell me about that.
Well, that is what I've discovered by empirical research is that the same energetic field that a human being puts out standing there in person as a living being, it is an interesting aspect that a very accurate photograph of that person will retain and emit a little bit of that bioelectric field around it. Now, it's very weak and tiny and not nearly ranging out like the person standing there would put out a field, but it is enough that it can be measured with a very small downsized set of dowsing rods. The field of a regular human is different than the field of a starseed. With these downsized dowsing rods, if you douse the photograph of a regular human, the rods will touch the photograph before they start spreading, whereas with a starseed, the rods will start to spread before they touch the photograph. And that indicates that the field is stronger, and therefore the individual in the photograph is actually a starseed. And when I saw your image, I decided to try it on you.
And?
The answer came back, starseed.
Wow. Should I question myself over that, or just do I just carry on with my life the way it is?
Well, I would recommend to you and any listeners who are curious in this matter that they consider doing a little more informing themselves on this. And the way I would suggest to do that, that's simplest, is I have on my website the StarKid StarSeed Identification Questionnaire. Mm-hmm. Now, these are 54 questions that you either answer yes or no as to whether it's true about you or not, real simple. And by the time you go down to the end of these and add up the yeses, if they're more than a dozen, you can pretty well conclude that you are a StarSeed. And also, on your way through the 54 items to decide whether each is true about you or not, you will educate yourself about the range of characteristics and abilities that starseeds have. What I found is that many starseeds are not aware that they are. A few are. A few even have memories of previous life incarnated on a previous world before they incarnated as a human in this lifetime. But most are unaware of themselves as such. But once they get educated as to what a starseed is like, some of the things that that have gone on in their past or that has happened to them or they've done spontaneously, they now realize were not coincidences but actually manifestations of some of their abilities.
Richard, will I, as a starseed and the star kids here, will I and will they be expected to rise up one day? Are we here for a reason?
Well, rise up sounds a little like one of those Hollywood movies where the alien invaders have embedded themselves in the population and one day throw off their rubber masks and come forth as an invading force. That Hollywood plot is the stuff of paranoid fantasy, but hardly reality, given the fact that the star visitors have been here since before humans were part of this planet, and the fact that they even bioengineered us into existence, hardly gives any basis for an alien invader scenario. And even if they were of such an inclination, they're smart enough to realize that they should have invaded before we developed modern weaponry in the last 50 years. But their intentions are anything but that. They're trying to encourage us to reach a higher full potential of ourselves as a peaceful, compassionate, intelligent species reaching a harmonious place in the larger picture of things in the cosmos.
Richard, have you any idea with your research how many star kids and star seeds there are on this planet?
Yes, I do. I did a field sample in a couple locations, and while the sampling techniques are limited, they give some picture of what's going on. In the kid population, ages 1 to 18, let's say, the number of star kids in the world is 2.2 billion. That's B as in billionaire or basketball. The star seed adult count is 1.5 billion with a B. Actually, the slight majority of people on Earth now are either star kids, or mostly star kids, or starseed adults. As you can see, as these people go on to grow up and have marry and have kids and pass on those genetics, pretty soon the entire human population will be starseed, star kid, but at present that is not quite the case.
Richard, if people want to find out more about this, I presume you've written books and got a website.
Yes, I do. The website is www.drboylan.com. That's drboylan.com. And I have on my website in the Star Kids, Star Seed section a book that calls... that is free and online, that person can download or read online, called Star Kids, The Emerging Cosmic Generation. It deals with every aspect of being a star kid or a starseed adult. Parents will be interested if they think, and grandparents if they think they have a star kid or starseed, child or grandchild, with the chapters on parenting and education of star kids. But it's pretty comprehensive and even includes a chapter on where we're going as a society. So they can, again, go to drboylan.com and go down to the Star Kids, Star Seed section. And the third entry there is the book. And they just click on that and read away and they'll be fully informed.
Richard, in your research, do you feel at all that there might be other galaxies or planets out there that actually... are quite violent beings that would come here and disrupt what's happening here with the star kids and star seeds?
Well, that's really two questions. So the answer is yes and no. So let me answer each one. Mm-hmm. Are there other, among the billions of civilizations out there, are there some that are primitive and violent or predatory? Territorial, acquisition-minded, sure, some of them are. But the good news is that the advanced and intelligent, morally sophisticated civilizations have formed an alliance called Star Nations. And one of the things they do is patrol around the galaxy and make sure that any wayward civilizations that have reached a level where they are spacefaring are not allowed to go out and prey on vulnerable planetary civilizations that are still in early development, like Earth and humans are. So they have a protective cordon around Earth, and none of the bad guys are allowed to get close. So any star visitors we deal with are approved by Star Nations and are from good civilizations.
You're a fascinating man. You're a fascinating man. When you sadly leave this Earth, do you think you go somewhere else or do you just go to Earth? What's your theories?
Well, it's very interesting. Every single star civilization in Star Nations accepts the reality of reincarnation. Many of those civilizations have individuals that can remember their previous lives, and so they don't even need to speculate. They can remember who and what they were in a previous go-around. Certainly I have accepted that reincarnation is a reality and not a speculative theory. And when I finish this lifespan, I would expect after a time of in-between space, God provides that for a little reflective time, that I would reincarnate. And at this time, my intention is to come back and reincarnate on Earth and try to do a little more helpful involvement with people.
Richard, what's the website again, please?
www.drboylan.com, drboylan.com.
Dr. Richard Boylan, thank you so much for joining us.
Pete, my pleasure. Have a great evening.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.